Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Came out today. We're born again. There's new grass on the field. Around the third and headed for home. It's a brown-eyed handsome man. Anyone can understand the way I feel. Oh, put me in cold.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Man, we're having a great Thursday. Hope you are as well. Let's bring our coach on, Coach Brett Jody. Coach, how's it going today?
Going well. How about yourself?
We're good. Hey, I want you to help me out and describe, because we were talking about the weather here right now.
Yeah.
You get it, don't you? You get it from being from South. I get it, North Carolina. You're from South Carolina. Like, we were talking about this. I love this weather. Like, I love the humidity. I love the heat. You walk out, you sweat, all that good stuff.
This is normal. You know what I mean? This is normal now.
Yeah.
Now it was kind of weird how, I guess, was it, 10 days ago, we're sitting out there with jackets on and just trying to find some heat or whatever, and then now it's come quickly. But, yeah, I was out there yesterday, right when you walk outside, you start sweating a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, all right, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I hear everybody else talking about how it's not supposed to be this hot yet, man. I don't know what's going on. It'll cool down a little bit, and I'm like, oh, this is fine with me.
I think they're experiencing what we experienced probably growing up, when you take a shower, you get out of the shower, dry off, and you sweat.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's like a 4 or 5 shower day sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you still feel damp the entire day.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Hey, well, it's a natural flush, man. You know, it gets out of the bad, out with the bad, in with the good. You know, every day.
That's right. That's right. Well, welcome back home. By the way, I know you guys were gone for a little bit. Welcome back home. Not as much success on the road as I know you'd want. When you look at it, what were some of the stuff that you look at and go, man, we were close, we weren't close, and then how do we get better?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it really, we talked a little bit about it last time, I think we went 15 innings game one on the road, yeah, and 11 innings game two, and then we started to play some regularly scheduled games, as you'll say. But it really really put us back a little bit, pitching staff-wise and everything, and our depth just isn't there for the staff. We lost Johnny Marbato, too, just starting out that trip. So, and I'm not here to make excuses or anything like that. We got to step up as a team, as a unit, and get better and play better. But it definitely affects things, and it causes other people to kind of do some things maybe they're not comfortable with, whether it's being the rotation or step up and be a bigger part of the bullpen. And we didn't have an answer for Sioux City. We scored first in all three games and gave ourselves a little bit of a lead and just couldn't hold it and kept giving up the big hits. And we're trying to work our way through that and trying to minimize the runs we're giving up. But we still seem to give up. We've been giving up a good amount of homers and big hits with two outs and stuff like that, and just have to find a way to eliminate those, or minimize them, I should say. You're not going to eliminate them ever, but... And we went through a little stretch like that where we did that in Kane County. We did that and held them to a minimum amount of runs and had a good chance and won that series. And that's what needs to be done, because I really think our offense can come through and put enough runs up to win a good amount of games. But our pitching staff has to step up a little bit more. And I take pride in that. I was a pitching guy and trying to help these guys through it. And that's something we're definitely working on and trying to remedy.
Hey, Coach, as you're on the road and you're going to these ballparks that you're seeing for the first time, or maybe you've seen them before. I know this is the first time you've been in this league. What are you learning, you personally? What are you learning as you go and on the road and looking at all these different ballparks? What are you learning about these teams and in the league?
Well, you learn a lot. You're seeing just how things kind of run. And I've seen some really good lineups at times. I've seen, you are going to be light in certain areas, I guess, is what I'm seeing also. And what I mean by that is there are going to be a few little, chinks in the armor or whatever, whether it's maybe a couple of starters aren't real strong or a couple of bullpen arms, or maybe the lineup's not, all the way complete or different things like that. And I think that's just from And not to say some of these young guys can't be some of your better players, but you'll see some of the inexperience show out at times. And I've already seen that without naming the teams or whatever. I've seen, you know, one team with a really strong rotation, like every guy they threw out there knew how to pitch and has a good chance to win the game. And I've seen, you know, teams with really strong bullpens, and I've seen two lineups so far that, you know, seem like you're facing Barry Bonds every time up. So you see that mixture, and then how do we compete against that, or how do we match up, I should say, against those teams and stuff like that. So it's been interesting. You know, we still got a lot of teams to see yet, but some matchups are tougher than others. I feel like we're right there with everybody, and that's, you know, hence our record right at 500, basically. You know, it kind of shows we're in every game, but we also have a chance to not be in every game. So we've won games 11-10. We've won games, you know, 3-2, whatever. So they've been high scoring, low scoring, everywhere in between. But just have to find a way to win those close ones and come out on top a little bit more. And like I said, minimize some damage with the pitching staff. As far as the other towns and cities and parks we played at and stuff, man, it's a really nice league and nice parks, and they all have something special about them, it seems like, and you can just tell that, and the fans are passionate, man. It's been a pleasure to go to these different places.
Well, Coach, obviously you got back home in game one, and people paid attention. Your pitchers paid attention in game one to your conversations. Keenan Bartlett goes out. By the way, in his two starts, 11 shutout innings. Jake Hohensie, he throws a couple in relief, shuts him down, which is awesome to see, and some guys stepping up like that. But what I was more intrigued by, because I think this is the lost art of all baseball, stolen bases, baby, being aggressive on the base paths. You guys go 7-for-7 on the pass that first night.
A record.
Record. Salt Dogs record.
That's what I heard. Yeah. So it's good to have a positive record, right? I think we've been setting some not positive ones at times too. But yeah, that was, you know, we're going to take what the team gives us and also be aggressive. I always talk about being smart, aggressive, and that's something that the pitcher wasn't slow to the plate, but he also kind of got in a pattern a little bit. Yep. And so we took a chance and wanted to get in scoring position and stay out of the double plays and stuff, and it worked that first night. And then we face a guy last night that it's a .85 to the dish. I don't think I've ever seen that, but it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. So, you know, it kind of takes away a lot of the hit and runs you want to do, even though the guy's around the plate. If he happens to throw a bad pitch and it's a ball and we swing and miss, you know, our runner's basically going to be behind, but you know, between first and second. So it may not even be enough time for him to take off for the second base and to have to go cover second, you know, so the hit and run may not even work and stuff, and obviously it's tough to steal bases like that. So the guy did a really good job of kind of keeping us at bay with that, probably learned from the night before a little bit too. But that's something that's in our game. I haven't compared it to the league or anything, but I'm sure we're up there in stolen bases, and that's somewhere we want to be. We want to be aggressive, and as some more guys get a little more healthy too and stuff like that, hopefully we'll see even some more stolen bases and more running, more action. But we got some guys that can put the bat on the ball too, to do some hit and runs, do some action type stuff. We, you know, through the lineup, we can bunt for base hits, as we talked about, and run a little bit. So those are things we need to do, and hopefully we'll leave the yard a few more times too, because I know we have a lot of capability to do that as well, and still searching for that big hit with runners in scoring position. Sometimes guys try to, you know, do too much in those situations. Maybe their swing gets a little long, a little big or whatever, and just got to stay within yourself during those times and connect and find some grass out there.
Hey, Coach, talk to our listeners about that. You mentioned something so intriguing, because I helped do some pitching stuff with a 10U select team in town, and we talk about stolen bases and how to cut them down, because a lot of people tell you, maybe not knowing the game as much, tell you it's all in the catcher. It's 50-50, right? It's a pitcher's problem and a catcher's problem. Want to get to the plate quick, and then have the more time for the catcher to react, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give your catcher a chance, right? If you're, you know, I don't know what the timing would be in your league, but in our league, if you're, you know, if you're 1-4 or above, you got a pretty good chance to steal that base. But there's a lot of factors to it, and I would put it more on myself as a pitcher and say that, you know, I can really help that catcher out, even if the catcher can't throw that well, and we've been successful in other places that I've coached or managed or whatever, where the catcher maybe doesn't have a great arm, but the pitcher is extremely smart with his hold times. He varies his hold times. He varies his looks. Doesn't get into a pattern. You know, does he have a good pickoff move or not? And then obviously your time to the plate. So there's a bunch of factors to it. And if you can do a lot of those things well, you can really keep people from stealing. I think one year, not to brag about myself or whatever, but I think, it might have been even the Florida State League or whatever. I think it was guys were maybe 0-for-2 on the year or something because they just didn't try.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I was quick to the plate. I varied my looks. I also took pride in working on pickoff moves, whether it was an inside move to second or a pickoff move to first. That's something I actually did in college with Coach Myers at South Carolina. We worked on pickoff moves. You know, that's something you do. Learned a little dart throw. Learned to, you know, I figured out if a guy had a certain amount of lead that I could throw the little dart throw and put it right there on the bag. And I knew if I put there on the bag, where's he going to put his hand? He's going to put it right into the glove of the first baseman. Mm-hmm. So if you could be accurate with it, too. So there's a lot of things to it. And just like that guy had success last night against us, there's a reason for that. And when you can stay in the double play and you know, guys can't advance on you and get in scoring position and stuff, and that's what I've been trying to preach to our team. It's such a huge part of the game. Everybody thinks it's, oh, I got to get the hitter out. Well, you can solve a lot of problems if you happen to get that hitter out and hit a ground ball to short with a runner on first and get two outs in one pitch rather than, you know, having to make a perfect pitch with a runner on third and one out or no outs. It's a lot tougher. So it's a big part of the game, and you're exactly right. And obviously it takes pressure off the pitcher if the catcher has a cannon back there. But, you know, I don't want to have to require that. I would rather just minimize the desire or you know, the ability to even attempt to steal, and then you don't really have to worry about it, you know. So, and I used, back in the day, not to go so long about this, but back in the day, I used to have a couple of different deliveries. If you got a, you know, runner at first, it's like a catcher that you don't think will run, then you go with a higher leg kick, and then you do your faster one. Well, you know, with a good runner, I scratched that, and I want to be consistent every time, so I was just fast every time, because you can't tell by size of guys or what position they play who can run anymore, because a lot of them can run. They could be a big old ball over there, and they could, you know, steal all kind of bases, you know, so. Yeah. So you can't stereotype and look at them and decide if they can run anymore. So I was just quick with everybody. Now, I may not pick off and waste all those moves and stuff on a guy that may not be running, but I'm still going to give him a good amount of attention and make sure I'm varying hold times, looks, and quick to the plate, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Coach, you got the rubber match coming up against Houston tonight, Thirsty Thursday, down at the ballpark.
Don't forget to put that in there. Thursday.
Beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful afternoon for some baseball. You know, preview this game for us tonight.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. It's a series to win. It's been, you know, good offensive production and good pitching performance on the first game. And yesterday was just a good all-around game. You know, we're sitting there in the ninth with a chance to tie or go ahead or win the game, I should say, and had the bases loaded in the eighth and you know, some big-time hitters up. And it was just a good game all around. You know, some 3-2 pitches, bases loaded, down by one, you know, different things like that. Obviously, you want the home team to win, and we want to come out on top of those, and that's what I'm talking about. We need to find a way to win those. But looking for another good game tonight. They got a good lineup over there, man. I'm impressed with what they have. They have some good arms out of the bullpen, some good numbers out of the bullpen. I'm not sure the numbers on the starter tonight, but that's something we need to do is work that starter and get the pitch count up, try to get in that pen a little bit earlier than last night. And I think we can be successful, and it's also going to come down to, you know, not giving up a big hit for us. We did not avoid that yesterday, I don't think. Big 3-run homer early in that game for them, and you know, really tough to overcome that, I guess. So we need to get a good start performance by Lance today. He's been kind of up and down. He has the potential to do it, but has not been consistent yet, and we're looking for him to go out there and give us a chance.
Hey, also, you talk about hitting, man. What can you say about Forrest Allday right now? You see those stats, dude. Nine hits in the last four games, and he's hitting. He's 13 of 23 in the month of June. Wow.
Yeah, it feels like he's like, you know, 15 hits his last 10 ABs, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy, man. It seems like he got out last night, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Can we get a redo? What happened there? Like, that's not supposed to happen, you know. But, no, I haven't talked to him much about it. I kind of like leaving people alone in that situation. Yep. He's been DHing for us while he's coming back from a little bit of a quad thing, and luckily he's been getting healthier and healthier, because I'd love to get him back out in the outfield. But man, if he keeps hitting like that as a DH, I mean, that's the definition of a DH, right? Designated hitter.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing, man. And coming up big in so many different situations, and he puts together such a great AB, and hopefully guys are learning some things from him, and such a difference maker in that lineup, man. And yeah, it's been ridiculous what he's been doing. Hopefully he can keep it going, or other people will feed off of that and get hot as well, which I think we have a couple guys moving in that direction. But great hitter, great idea, always has a plan together, doesn't chase. Just you can't say enough about the guy, but he's been hot as fire, that's for sure.
Hey, speaking of coming back from injuries, how's Skyler doing? I know I was there the night that he took that unfortunate injury on the hand. How's he doing?
Yeah, he got the stitches out 2 days ago, I believe, and we were able to get him an AB and catch the last three innings of the game on Tuesday, I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
So he came up with first AB and ripped a single up the middle, so that was good. And then caught the last three innings and looked pretty good. He's throwing better again and all that. And he caught the game yesterday and did a pretty good job for us behind the dish as well. So I know he was itching to get back out there and managed to heal up pretty fast. And he's a tough guy as well. So it's good to have him back there. Good to have his presence around and another lefty stick to put out there at times. And he's really good for our pitching staff too. So excited to have him back.
Hey, last one. Rumor was when you guys were up in Kane County, the Rocket was roaming around.
That's true. Yeah, I was going to tell you that last time. Yeah,
the Rocket was there, right?
So we were in the locker room and some guys came back in. They walked out there and came back and they were like, "Hey man, if you want to meet the Rocket, he's out here." And I'm like, "Oh, that's cool, man." I was wondering why he was there though.
Yep.
And he does his typical throwing VP from back there, almost on the pitcher's mound. You know, he's
still the Rocket.
He's making us all look bad. You know, he's still throwing in there probably 85 in BP, you know, but I think one of his boys signed with Kane County to play first, so he was out there, you know, hanging out doing some things and helping the guys out so I walked out and Tommy walked out and a few of us were out there and he was done and he came over from the other dugout and just hung out with our guys for a little while, which was a lot of fun. Told some stories and just kind of hung out a little bit and, you know, asked if we had any questions, which I talked to him a little bit and asked some things, but, you know, it seemed like our pitchers and stuff were kind of, they were stuck with their mouths open, I believe, so they didn't say too much. But, man, you know, he's obviously he's not just like everybody else, but he is when it comes down to it, just the same things and what goes through his head and how to compete, and he still has that fire in him. You can see it, man, but it's pretty cool to see, you know, hear about his work ethic and just his mentality and stuff. And it's the same things I've been preaching to the guys and everything. But, you know, if the Rocket tells you you need to ice your arm or whatever, then now they're in there icing their arm and stuff, you know. So it's kind of funny the things they were talking about afterwards. It's like, wait a minute, I just said this the last 2 days, yeah. And now you're,
you know, because the Rocket said it.
I need to write him and get him back here, or call him and get him back in here again and tell him some of the things that I've been saying to tell them that, and then maybe it'll come to fruition. But no, it was really cool to see him out there and he loves it, man. He loves baseball obviously and loves helping the guys and has always been like that. You know, I played with him for a very short time with the Yankees and the way he went about his business and work ethic and all that, and like I said, he still gets after it and still wants to help people and make them grow. And then the next day, I think he was over there with Kane County talking to their pitchers for an hour and a half or whatever, and I was like, man, can we, you think it'd be bad if we walk on over there and hang out? But they were on their side of the field in their bullpen area, though, so we stayed away. But that's, you know, what an honor and a pleasure to have him around and be able to meet him and stuff like that again for some of our guys.
Well, maybe he can fire the jet up because they'll be here tomorrow night or Friday night.
That's right. That's right. Come on, man. Hopefully the Rocket comes on over. That's right.
Awesome. Hey, Coach, thanks, man. We appreciate your time, man. I know you're busy, man. Good luck tonight, and we'll catch up with you here soon.
Sounds like a plan. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Salt Dogs manager, Coach Brett Jody right there. Man, that's good stuff.
That's so cool to hear him talk about
the Rocket.
The Rocket. And he came over and talked to them. He even asked them a few questions. That's cool. If people, you know, if you ever wondered what what the Rocket was doing out of retirement, there you go.
There you go.
Hanging around.
Taking his son out and, you know, still giving the knowledge that he, when he lived it, giving it back right now. So that's cool stuff. Hey, let's take a break. We come back. Brooks Koepka has spoken.